It's Super Bowl Sunday, but the tackles and interceptions are not just limited to football.
When did the Prime Minister decide to send Canadian troops into combat?
The party quarterbacks tested out their election game plays in the House of Commons.
I know the opposition thinks it's a terrible thing that we're actually standing up to jihadists.
Why did the government mislead Canadians?
But where will the ball drop on the government's new plan to fight terrorism?
Violent jihadism is not a human right, it is an act of war.
A new bill introduced on Friday aims to strengthen laws to fight the threat of terrorism. The proposed laws would give CSIS new powers to cancel a suspect's travel reservations or block electronic communications, allow the police to detain a suspected terrorist for a longer period of time without charges, criminalize the promotion of terrorism, make it easier to stop alleged jihadists from boarding planes, and permit the sharing of private or commercial information among federal departments. But critics worry the legislation might infringe on the privacy of Canadians. So joining me now, one of the draftsmen of the legislation, Public Safety Minister Steve Blaney. So, Mr. Blaney, you're going to vastly expand police powers and spy powers. Where are the measures to oversee the security agency so they don't break the law or go rogue, which they have in the past?
What I can tell you, Bob, is that there is no liberty without security. One goes hand in hand. And what we are willing to accomplish, the first role of a government is to keep Canadians safe. That's what this bill is seeking to achieve, keeping Canadians safe, protecting Canadians and their families from the terrorist threat.
But how would these laws have stopped the Parliament Hill shooter? Since he was a lone wolf, he was unstable, and not even on the police radar. I mean, some people are wondering whether the government is overreacting.
Well, we always say we would not underreact either. And as you know, for those people to get into the mindset of being lured by those extremists, they have to go on website. Well, now this bill will provide the authority to shut down those websites who are promoting hatred, extremism, and violent jihadi. We are going to be able to talk to parents, to if we are made aware that a terrorist threat could happen, to disrupt those terrorist attack. We are going to be able to share information amongst agency. The left hand of the government will be able to know what is doing the right hand, so that we are fighting terrorists with both hands, if I can put it that way. So these are reasonable measures that are put forward. And one thing also, for those who are promoting terrorism, use of violence, encouraging actively the use of violence and terrorism, well, they will face the full force of the law, of course, and they will be charged, because this is a criminal offense, and we've based our bill on the Supreme Court decision of the definition of promotion of terrorism.
All right, but this is supposed to be designed to go after homegrown terrorists. Can you assure Canadians it won't be used against environmentalists and First Nation activists like Idle No More? Because we know the CSIS and RCMP had been looking after them.
Well, what I can tell you is the goal of the aim of that bill is to track terrorists, to track those who are willing to commit violence in any form of terrorism. So for anyone who abide by Canadian law, anyone who is not contravening to the criminal code and actually that's what we want to protect. We want to protect the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression. We want to protect our values, and those terrorists are willing to stop us from being what we are, from being Canadian, actually, basically. That's why we need to give tools to those who are there to protect us, the tool that they need. And as you know, there's the Attorney General involved in some of those measures. There's judicial oversight, there's a warrant. We have an oversight body that's been in place for 30 years. We've just appointed another remarkable fellow Canadian this week. So I tell you, we need to be able to face this terrorist threat.
Look, even the oversight body, Deborah Gray, who chairs it, says that the spy agency is not telling them a lot of stuff. So that's why a lot of people say there needs to be parliamentary oversight, and there needs to be a much more powerful oversight group over all of our security agencies. This legislation does not include any of that.
Well, there's already a strong oversight body, as you've indicated, the CSIRG. This is an organism that has been ongoing for 30 years, who's been bringing continuity, who's been bringing integrity and dependence and efficiencies. And they have been reporting to Parliament. They are actually the extension of Parliament. They are acting on behalf of parliamentarians when doing their investigation and their oversight of CSIS. They are producing report. They are producing recommendation. There's been strong legal and judgment that have clarified their role. And Ms. Deborah Gray and this honorable group of fine individuals are supported by a team that has a deep and profound knowledge of the work of the intelligence community. So we can be very proud of what they're doing. And any additional would be just duplication because they are already acting on behalf of parliamentarians.
Well, Mr. Blaney, a lot of judges would disagree with you on that, but I want to thank you very much for coming on to speak to us.
Thank you, Bob.
We've assembled our panel of MPs to talk about the new anti-terrorism legislation. Paul Dewar is the foreign affairs critic for the NDP. Wayne Easter is the public safety critic for the Liberals. And Roxanne James is the parliamentary secretary to the Minister of Public Safety. First question to you, Paul. Do you have concerns about this legislation, and is it going too far?
Well, first of all, we just received the legislation. The concern we had from the beginning is the way this legislation was announced. It should have been in Parliament. This is a very serious piece of legislation. It's a very serious issue. And instead of having it, the Prime Minister and the Minister who is responsible for this legislation announce it in Parliament and bring it forward in Parliament, it was done in Richmond Hill in a campaign-style speech. So we have problems with that. But look, our premise on all of this is that when it comes to terrorism, we think Canada is a safe country. But we want to ensure that these two principles of liberties and freedoms and safety are actually things that go together, and that, in my opinion, in our opinion as a party, that safety and freedom go together. And we want to make sure there's a robust debate, and frankly, hopefully, this government will not rush this through as they have done with so many bills, including the last terror bill that we saw, and that we have a good debate, a solid debate, and we're going to listen to experts on all of the aspects, because this is a big, big bill.
But you haven't made any specific criticisms. What about you, Mr. Easter? Do you have specific concerns about this legislation?
Well, as Paul said, this legislation is some 60 pages is thick. It, I think, amends several pieces of legislation, has five sections to it. And I can tell you this, we'll support all reasonable measures that keep Canadians safe. We recognize that the terrorist element is a risk to this country, and that the policing tools and security agencies' tools need to keep pace with the times so they can challenge that terrorist element. But what is absolutely missing in this legislation is oversight, oversight, oversight. There is not proper oversight of this agency, and we're the only one of the Five Eyes country that does not have parliamentary oversight of our national security agencies. That's what's needed for two things. One, to ensure that the new powers in this legislation that agencies will be granted will not infringe on the privacy rights of Canadians, and two, to ensure that the agencies are using their powers within the law on a day-to-day basis.
Well, what about that, Ms. James? A lot of highly respected judges themselves, including Dennis O'Connor, who did the Mahara Rare Inquiry, have said that there needs to be better oversight of the security agencies, particularly if you're going to expand their powers.
Well, let me be clear. First of all, our government is not interested in creating a duplicative process. We already have a robust oversight body in place. They have been very successful in reviewing the activities of CSIS. And I think that when Mr. Easter brings this up time and time again, I think it's to deter from his track record and be able to support some of the initiatives that we've put through as a government. I mean, this is coming from a political party that even has a problem with revoking Canadian citizenship from those dual nationals who are convicted of terrorism in this country. The measures that we've brought forward today that the Prime Minister did announce Democrats in Richmond Hill, and that was tabled in the House, are measures that are common sense measures, and I'm hoping that the member from Malpec, my colleague Mr. Easter, is going to be able to support it. These are measures that are actually going to stop planned attacks. They're going to make sure that threats are taken off the street. They're also going to criminalize the promotion of terrorism, which is very critical to attacking this issue head on. We're also going to prevent travel from terrorists traveling and recruiting others around the world.
So I see they're already using this as a wedge issue against both the Liberals and the NDP, but
not at all.
Well, you know, look, first of all, the oversight isn't. The government presently hasn't even filled the opening positions for the oversight body for CSIS.
We actually had an appointment announced today.
They had an appointment date, but you know how long it took them? It's taken them months. They can't even manage the present oversight for these agencies. And we need to have more robust oversight. And I wish we had had that, frankly, before. But when the government gives extra powers to either the RCMP, to CSIS, to border agents, that's fine. But what's happened with this government is that they go down that path and say it's going to do all these wonderful things. But here's the problem. They cut their budgets.
Correct.
Well, no, the facts are in your own budget, so I'll let the numbers speak for themselves. So if the government is really concerned, as they claim, to be on terrorism and dealing with it and preventing it, they should have robust programs on dealing with people who are in communities who want to work to prevent people becoming radicalized. We don't see a program there that's worthy, and we don't see the oversight, and they are cutting the budgets of the very people who are supposed to prevent
this. Bob, if I could come in here on the point you make, the government, Roxanne, is trying to use this as, and the government is trying to use this bill on public safety and national security as a wedge issue. That is wrong. We will look at this with, we'll talk to stakeholders, we'll talk to experts, we hope there's robust hearings, and we have to balance national security and civil liberties in this country, but we do have to keep Canadians safe.
So what's the problem with having members of parliament sworn to secrecy to oversee our security agencies like they do in the United States and they do in Great Britain? I just don't understand why that's a problem.
But just to put it in certain terms, first of all, Canada is its own entity. The decisions that we make here reflect what is in the best interest of Canada and our citizens.
So it's in the best interest of our citizens not to have members of parliament oversee our security
agencies? We are not interested in creating needless red tape. We are interested in bringing forward measures that are going to actually give the security agencies, law enforcement, whether it be the RCMP or Canadian security agencies, the tools that they need to better combat the real threat of terrorism in this country. Look, the jihadist movement, it has declared war against countries like Canada. We have seen what happened recently in France. What's going on in Australia, the jihadist movement that is taking place
across
the Middle East.
You're a former Solicitor General. We all had instances where our spy services and RCMP have gone rogue.
Well, look, when you're in the agency, or even you're in the RCMP, you're looking at your mandate. You've got to keep these terrorists off the street. You may stretch from the rule of law. That's just the reality of the world. We hope they don't. But oversight helps to prevent that. And with the additional powers to CSIS in this particular act and what they can do and lowering the thresholds for detention, etc., you do need that oversight. Keep in mind that the very agency that Roxanne is talking about, CERC, it found in its last report that CSIS didn't have good communications between its head office and its regions and between its regions. And now we're giving them more authority and more power without proper oversight. I don't know why the government didn't run on oversight.
My colleague just contradicted himself. The CERC committee actually found and put in the report. So the fact that we already have a robust oversight body in place here in Canada is proof based on that report.
I have to leave right now, but what that report actually said is that they were, CSIS was keeping information secret from CERC. Anyway, on this, I'm sure we're going to talk about this more.
Absolutely.
It's going to be very fascinating. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
We'll have more on the new anti-terrorism bill with our scrum later in the show. But first, the provincial premiers gathered in Ottawa on Friday to discuss things like energy and infrastructure. And many of them were critical that the Prime Minister did not make an appearance.
I think our country does function better if we have a Prime Minister who wants to sit down and work with the provinces. And it comes down to compromise. So it's unfortunate that he doesn't do it.
The Premier of Newfoundland and Labrador, Paul Davis, attended the meeting in Ottawa, and he joins me now in the studio. So, Premier, are you disappointed that the Prime Minister wouldn't have made time out of his schedule to meet with the Premiers, particularly given the problems that the Canadian economy is now experiencing?
We're in a very significant place with the Canadian economy, and the oil prices are impacting all premiers in all provinces. We had a good discussion on it today. It is most unfortunate that we're at this very critical time as a country, and that the federal government, the Prime Minister, wasn't able to attend our meetings.
Because your viewpoint, I think, of the Premier's viewpoint, is that if we're facing these kind of difficulties, it's better to work together from all levels of government to see what can be done to help the economy and to help create jobs, right?
Well, I mean, if the premiers, as premiers, we're all very well aware of what's happening in our own provinces and what how we're impacted by the current economy and the nuances of that. So, you know, to me, it was a great opportunity for having all the premiers together at one time to have that discussion. So it is unfortunate that he decided not to participate.
Now, he prefers one-on-one meetings rather than getting together with all the premiers. You've had a one-on-one meeting. It didn't go very well.
Well, I mean, we had a very frank and open discussion. I didn't achieve the result that I'd hoped for, and we're continuing to work on that. You know, as Newfoundlanders and Labradorians, we had an agreement, clearly had an agreement with the federal government, and our request to them is that they honor that agreement, and they're simply not doing that,
And the agreement is that they were supposed to help seafood owners and fishermen deal with